$680 million poured into precision ag last year. Autonomous weeding robots dominated, and John Deere made two acquisitions in 3 months. A food company, not an equipment maker, bought a robotics startup to protect its own supply chain. The deals are accelerating, the money is moving, and the winners are already separating from the pack. If you're investing, building, or buying in this space, you need the full picture before your competitors get it. The 2025 Precision Agriculture Intelligence Report from iGrowNews is now available. Get your copy today at igrownews.com/precision. Special thanks to our title sponsor, Arnois Greenhouses. Are you a commercial grower striving for consistency, higher yields, and year-round profitability? For over 60 years, Arnois Greenhouses has been designing, building, and installing advanced greenhouse and high tunnel systems across North America. Their commercial structures are engineered to maximize light with minimal steel, using their exclusive oval tube design, improve climate control, and reduce disease risks, helping growers achieve healthier crops, better yields, and consistent performance season after season. What sets them apart? Arnois combines deep engineering expertise with a personalized grower-first approach. With tens of thousands of installations worldwide, patented technologies, and a legacy of innovation, they're not just building greenhouses, they're building the future of agriculture. If you want a greenhouse manufacturer that can truly be there, from your first high tunnel to a fully automated turnkey solution tailored to your climate, crops, and business goals, whether you grow vegetables, ornamentals, berries, or nursery plants, visit arnoisgreenhouse.com. Let them help you bring predictability, efficiency, and scalability to your growing operation. Thanks to Arnois Greenhouses for supporting this show. Now let's get into today's episode.
Arnois' focus always has been and always will be on high quality. So whether that's steel, we get Canadian steel, high quality. We're not taking stuff from Asia and these other markets where, you know, there's known to be discrepancies in quality. Our focus has always been quality.
Welcome to Greenhouse Success Stories. Tune in every week as we share conversations with growers, operators, and innovators from around the world, providing insight into what's working in their greenhouses. We discuss firsthand experiences and provide insights into how these farms are succeeding and thriving. Special thanks to our title sponsor, Arnois Greenhouse. With your host, founder of Little Greenhouse That Could, Trina Semenchuk.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. Thank you for listening this far. We really wanted to interview our show sponsor, Arnois. So I'm very happy to have Christopher McIntosh here today from Arnois. He is a technical sales rep for Arnois, and he's going to be talking about his experience in the greenhouse industry. So thank you for joining the show, Chris.
Thanks for having me, Trina.
Do people call you Chris or is it Christopher?
Chris is fine. Yeah, a lot of people call me Chris. Christopher is like more of a French way of saying my name. So it's the easier way for the people at the company to say it. But out west, typically Chris. Yeah.
Okay. Very interesting. So Christopher, were you born like in Montreal? Like, do you have French background in you?
Yeah. Arnois is French. My mom is born right near the office, like right near it. And so she grew up and started working for them. And then my dad started working for the company out in the West as a sales rep, and they met. And then came from that, I guess, long story short. But yes, my mom's family's all from Quebec. We go back there every Christmas to go visit. I go to the office every now and again. And yeah, so I do have the French side of me for sure.
Okay, so your mom met your dad through Arnois in the company, or did your mom and dad meet first and then your dad started working?
Yeah, my dad was working for a different company that was like selling Arnois products, I guess. And then they had some meeting where they had to go into the Arnois office and meet the Arnois people that they were selling their products in the West. And so that's where he met my mom in that meeting for the first time. And then chatting more often, and then one thing led to another. So now, yeah, they're still together 25 years later now, I think. Yeah, 24 years later.
Do you feel indebted to Arnois? Like you owe your life to Arnois as a Arnois baby?
No, not at all. No, Arnois has been so nice to us. And but by no means do we feel obligated to do any of that stuff. They're just great people to work with. So they're good. It's a good team effort.
Oh, that's great. Okay, so your mom has a history of working at Arnois. Your dad has a history of working at Arnois. What were both of your parents doing at Arnois? Like, what were their roles? Are they still working at Arnois? both of them?
My mom's going to rip me one if I don't get this right. So I'm going to try to ace this, but I don't think I'm going to get it right. So I think she started in accounting and then worked her way into a management position and I think became some sort of a sales rep managers, like a kind of operating that sort of side of things, I believe. Sorry, mom. And then my dad has just been a sales rep the whole time. So he's been with the company for over 25 years as a sales rep. My mom has moved on, I think I want to say around like early 2000s. And now she's still a sales rep, but she sells like fertilizer and peat moss and those sorts of things out in the West here.
Okay. Like does Harnois have a partner for fertilizers and supplies and whatnot, or like preferred people that they work with?
We have solutions for basically and partnerships in place for a lot of the stuff we put inside the greenhouse as far as like structural or like things that help run the greenhouse. But the day-to-day things that happen inside the greenhouse, like, you know, cultivating or, you know, who you're going to get your resources from, whether that's fertilizer or who you're going to do certain little aspects of your greenhouse with, that can be local. And so a lot of the times we don't necessarily step in and have that resource. We do have suppliers we work with, or like this community is so well knitted and everyone kind of knows each other. So whether you're like, hey, I need this, you know, Harnois might not offer that in our greenhouses, but I know someone who can get you that, or I can find someone who will help you. And so whether it's like, oh, I need baskets for picking fruits, do you know someone? It's like, well, yeah, I know Francisco. He's the guy from Thunderbird Plastics, whatever, you know, like those sorts of things. Like mm-hmm. we don't do that, but this community is just so well meshed that it's kind of a team effort in those sort of senses. So
what is your background and your story of being involved with greenhouses? Like, have you kind of always been involved with Harnois? I'm sure you went to, you know, Christmas parties as a kid or something like that, but maybe explain to us a bit about, you know, your story of getting involved with the company, you know, how long have you been here for, kind of those details.
Yeah, sure. So I actually was not a fan of agriculture growing up, believe it or not. That's kind of a niche thing. I thought it was kind of boring, to say the least. I was a big sports guy. So I wanted to be like in the sports industry, and I thought I would be like on TV interviewing, you know, Sidney Crosby one day. And then that sort of shifted as I got older, and then I really had a passion for business. And so I did my undergrad in business management at UBCO in Kelowna. And so I kind of was looking for internships at one point, and my dad suggested, you know, would you ever be open to the idea of doing something with Harnois? Like, I can ask Felix, our boss, or AKA Corinthian, what he thinks about it. And, you know, you can have a discussion and throw an application in there and do the whole, you know, go around it the way you should. And so I did. And I kind of got this internship that they made up for me to do market development. So I was basically doing like a research analysis of the industry and providing big target clients to go after, those sorts of things in the West, just because the company's based out of the East. So they don't get that kind of boots on ground feel for things. So I did some tours of some greenhouses in the West, those sorts of things. And then I finished university after that. And then I just kind of kept helping my dad with projects on the side while I was looking for work. And it just kind of kept taking on more responsibility, more projects. And then it kind of just built into this thing where I now work with Harnois directly. And I'm a sales rep now. It's just kind of, just built into this. So it's not really been like sent a resume in and got it. It's been like a series of small steps to make my way towards being a sales rep and understanding what Harnois is all about.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. When you're helping, you know, your dad casually with projects while you're finishing university, what did that look like? Like, what were you helping him with and what were you working on?
Sure. So he at the time was handling juggling a lot of projects, and this was post-COVID. So everyone's just kind of getting back into the swing of things. So a lot of the smaller projects, it was hard to give his full attention to. Being the only rep in the West, he handled Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta, BC, as well as some projects that came out of like Western US. So it was a large territory to cover. And so those smaller projects, it's easy for them to kind of be very time consumptive. And in those situations, we needed someone to kind of help him. And so that's kind of where he was like, hey, can you just, give me a hand. You're not really doing much today, but can maybe put the video game controller down for a bit and give me a hand. So I would step in and try to help him out there. So that's kind of how that started.
Okay, nice. Yeah, so I guess like just like with helping them find like the right equipment and clothing and all those things, like what's part of your role as a sales rep?
Yeah, so it would be like when I first started doing those things, it was like we do some background engineering on things based on locations of greenhouses, right? Because a greenhouse project in the Yukon doesn't look the same as a project in California. You don't need the same strength or steel or those reinforcements that you might need in a southern project. So we have kind of worksheets in place to calculate those for us without having to use an engineer every time. And like our engineers do help, but there's just like the early legwork can be done without them. So I was doing that part and then getting the quoting done, kind of just building those relationships with the clients and finding out their needs. As a new person, like you should see our sales catalog. It's like 300 pages long, it feels like. And it's all these little parts, nuts, bolts. I don't know them, but someone with 25 years experience does. So they'd say, hey, I need these sort of things. Can you give me a quote? And I would say, I can. I'll find a way to get it for you. And then like my dad and I would work together to get the parts list together. And then I could do the quote from there on.
Yeah, that makes sense. So when do you guys bring in engineers? So do you put together like preliminary design, you know, a quote for the structure and all the equipment? And then once like the customer has a package, do you then have partnerships with like local engineers that have stamping authority?
We have stamping authority in every province of Canada, I believe, and a good chunk of the US states as well. We also have a Mexican division, Hardware Mexico. And so I don't really know about their operations fully, unfortunately. You'd have to get someone from the Hardware Mexico, or I can get you in touch with someone who can give you more information on that. But the stuff in Canada, we can all do our own stamps on. So we have no issues with that. So someone would come to us, we do the legwork, we know what the requirements are. However, given certain circumstances, there are exceptions to rules and there are certain places where you need extra reinforcement, like a retail store. Like a storefront greenhouse isn't going to be the same as a farm use greenhouse. It's just not, they don't have the same sort of requirements. So there are different sort of specs you need to keep up to. And then, yeah, if they need permits, we can do all the stamping for them. And that's something we offer at Harnois. That's part of the services we have. That's not an added charge, nothing like that. It's just we feel it's the base level of comfort we need to provide clients.
Right. And by permits, you mean like, you know, the structural drawings for the greenhouse structure itself?
Yeah, there's a couple kind of permits you can get. I think there's like a C2 or something like that. I'm trying to think of that off the top of my head. But yeah, there's a couple different permitting documents you can get done. So if you build a greenhouse tomorrow, I would tell you, do you need permitting? And that'd be one of the first questions I would want to ask you. And then you could go, well, I don't know. So then I would say, you need to go to your local authority and you need to ask them. Then you go there and they say, yeah, you need to fill out these forms, come back and fill these out with these filled out. And then, so you could send those to us and we would help stamp those and get the approval that our design is going to meet the code to your area and to these requirements that you need in place. And that's kind of how Harnois plays into that.
And then your job as a sales rep is to get like the initial package and, you know, design prepared. And then you guys have in-house engineers that, you know, have the authority to stamp the structure.
Yeah. Before even that, maybe I would say the earlier phases of someone inquiring about a greenhouse, we kind of want to know how we can best fit our solutions to their needs. And so, for example, a lettuce house and a tomato greenhouse don't look the same. On the outside, they might look similar, but the way the greenhouse is built is not the same. And so we're trying to hash those details out early on and kind of start finding a direction we're going to go towards. And then obviously keeping a budget in mind, engineering in mind, you know, limitations of the greenhouse and the models we do offer. So we're trying to just find the best solution with what they need and what they want and how we can make a compromise, not a compromise necessarily, but make a match for each other. So whether that's equipment, heating, cooling, tables, growing tables, irrigate, like all the stuff you would need in a greenhouse. We're starting to figure those details out early on so we can give you a ballpark quote And then with that quote, then they go, okay, I like that. And then they go, okay, well, now do you need permitting? And then that's when the engineers step in and they'll do the paperwork for the stamping and work involved with that. And then it'll be an order, and there's kind of more to that afterwards, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. How many in-house engineers do you guys have?
Good question. I want to say 2 to 4. It's kind of like, so Harnow has 3 different divisions. We have a greenhouse division, we have a megadome division, and like a equipment division that I would call it.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize you had 3 divisions.
Yeah. So the other divisions have their own sort of like people. And so Harnois division, I think I'd speak mainly to 2 of them, and maybe that's because there's only 2 that speak English, but for the most part, I deal with Janadi and Carl. So every Monday morning, our sales reps meet with our engineers, and we have a big sales meeting, and we go over kind of questions we have, certain projects that are needing engineering, you know, attention, and how, what the timeline's looking like. Is this a feasible project? Because people come to us with all sorts of ideas, and so we need to know and hash out, is this doable? Is this something we can take on? How can we modify it if it can't be done?
Can you tell a story of one time of how Harnois helped one of its clients be successful?
Yeah, sure. So I'm thinking of a certain project we did with the First Nations group in BC. And it starts off early on with, you know, a couple people getting involved with the project and inquiring. And then this probably started out in February of this year. So a pretty recent project that comes to mind here. Great to work with, lots of meetings, back and forth, hashing out details of what they need, what they don't need. And this kind of goes on a couple of months. And then it's time to order. Everything's kind of going well. And then we hit a roadblock with delivery. The issue being shipping to some of these remote places comes with its own challenges. In this case, we needed to ship on a barge twice to get this greenhouse there. So you can imagine the challenges in shipping a greenhouse alone, and then putting it on a boat, delivering it somewhere, and then putting it on another boat and delivering it a second time. That's how remote some of these places are. So, but yeah, they're doing food sovereignty programs in their community. And our objective was to, you know, find the best solution for mixed variety crops, make sure the greenhouse is fitted to handle, you know, if tomatoes end up being a really big hit in the local greenhouse, how can the greenhouse be adjustable for that? And if instead it's, you know, lettuce, then how can we make it manageable for that? So it needed to be adjustable and flexible based on the outcome that the community would end up kind of leaning towards later down the road after trialing some things. So we offered a bunch of different solutions, made sure the greenhouse is compatible for multiple different crops, providing technologies in there that are able to handle different crops, different times of growing seasons, and even sectioning off the greenhouse if necessary later on. So we can divide the greenhouse into different bays. And yeah, so it was just a lot of back and forth. It got shipped, just for reference, this month, I think it went out. It went out on the second barge at the end of last month. So this is a project, keep in mind, I would say probably a couple thousand square feet, very small, like one oval deck size. And so 11 months of work goes into one greenhouse. For scale, is quite small compared to most projects, but we're still giving that sort of like love and attention and detail. It's not forgotten about or anything. It's still important to us that whether the greenhouse is small or large, that you're getting, you know, the Harnois service and the Harnois quality that we promise.
Yeah, no, that's great. So this was in BC. So I'm guessing it was like Northern BC. Is it very close to like the Yukon?
It was not that far north, no. It was just like a coastal island that is kind of difficult to get to.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's super cool. So 2 different barges that this greenhouse had to go on. How did you, so I know you said like, we had technology that could be used for mixed use crops. So can you give an example of like some systems that you put in the greenhouse that you knew it could be adjustable to grow different types of crops based on how the community was responding to which crops were being grown?
Yeah. So normally it's a mixed, it's a combination of technologies. Mm-hmm. One technology doesn't typically give you enough unless you're just going to be growing 3 seasons and using the outdoor elements the best you can. So we want to, in a standard greenhouse, we want to use Mother Nature as much as we can. So we have maximum ventilation when possible. Mother Nature does a really good job of producing crops, right? We know that. So let's use her as best we can. The technologies we would kind of install afterwards is for when the greenhouse is mostly being sealed up and closed up. Those are when it's most important. So heating is like the number one thing that comes to mind. People think of that, right? In the winter, they want to grow. We need heat. Not a bad problem. In places where it's very sunny, think of prairies, for example, in the winter, it's very sunny. It can get too hot in the greenhouse. Even if you turn the heat off, it'll get too hot. So now we need to extract heat or add cool air in. And an inexpensive way of doing that is just opening, you know, the roll-up sides, for example, or doors or roof. And there's a problem with that in the winter. When it's minus 10 outside and you open a door or open the roll-up sides, it'll flash freeze the crop and kill everything. So the next best solution is what we call a winter exhaust fan. And that'll kind of just have a fan at one end of the house and a little shutter. And the fan will turn on and draw cool air into the greenhouse slowly. It'll slowly draw cool air from the outside in. And then the fans on the inside of the greenhouse will push that cool air around and lowering the leaf temperature.
I guess my question was, you know, like I'm thinking about a greenhouse, you know, if you want to do a vining crop or a leafy green,
okay,
you know, let's say herb crop, you're yeah. going to have two complete different growing systems, you know, like you might, or if you're doing strawberries, you know, like yep. with a lettuce or, you know, leafy green, maybe you have some gutters. If you have a vine crop, you know, you've got like your trellis and system and whatnot. What did you guys provide indoor growing systems to go into the greenhouse in this instance? Or was it just like, you know, garden beds growing in the soil type of, that was up to the customer? What did you guys do for that?
So they're going to be growing in the soil for the most part. We didn't offer, okay. we didn't sell them any growing tables or anything of that sort. The greenhouse is equipped to do trellis crops and trellis supports across the entire greenhouse. So if they choose to do that later on, then they can. If not, then that's all right. We included like shading systems. So that can be used wherever they want to use it. So if they want to add shading just to the tomatoes part of the greenhouse, then they can. If they want to just put it on, they have their own way of doing that. It's like kind of a low tech version of like a shade system, but they do have the shading screens in place. Well, they can just kind of mm-hmm. wherever they feel is needed. And then we're talking about that earlier about the sun being too strong in the winter. So that's something similar to that. I'm trying to think of what else we did that would be more flexible. There's always the option to install a dividing wall in there if they wanted to as well, to change the climates completely. So if okay. you wanted heating at different temperatures in the greenhouse, then there's always the option to install a wall across the middle of the greenhouse. At any point, any of the arches, you can do that. And so that's always an option as well.
Okay, so like a partition wall?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so that would be insulated as well so that the greenhouse can keep its different temperatures without mixing at all and causing much issue.
Okay, it sounds like you put in a lot of detail to this to this project.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, how many meetings do you think you had with this client? Like, you know, how did Hardnois engage with this client? Did you guys set up like a monthly call, a weekly call? What did that look like?
The calls go in, I would say, phases. Like early on, there's going to be a lot of calls. We want to get as much detail as we can to make sure that we're providing the right solution, right? And so sometimes it's, hey, I don't really know about this. Can you give me pricing for both these options? And then, you know, we obviously have the conversation about why we're taking one versus the other as far as an option goes. And then, so we'll provide those and then we'll go back and there'll be some, all right, you know, it doesn't make much sense to do this. It makes more sense to do it this way. How can we do this? And so early on, there's lots of conversations. And then once we kind of settle on a design and the customer's happy, deposit's paid, all that stuff, then there's kind of a more of a calm period. And in this period, it's now our team internally doing stuff. So they're working on manufacturing, preparing, packaging, bundling, getting transport ready. So this is when the clients should start to be getting ready to prep their land for construction. So there's not a whole lot of conversation going on. Sometimes I'll ask, you know, about install questions or anchor things and this and that. So that's totally fine. We're always here to help answer questions. But there's no real set schedule. And then once it went off, because of where they were, they only wanted us to ship it to like Richmond. And then they wanted to take the rest on from there because they had like some good connections that they could use for whatever. And then that ended up being like a big hiccup for us, was that the trucking company we work with arrived and they were not prepared to take this shipment basically onto a barge for like another 2 weeks. Obviously the trucker's not going to sit around for 2 weeks and watch the shipment just kind of hang around. So, you know, Harnois is there to support. We have a freight logistics department, but we had to work with the team as well. So that's when I kind of take a step back. I know what the project is. I know what we've done for the selling side of things, but now someone else is stepping in and they're going, okay, we're going to help you with this. There's been a hiccup, whatever, not a big deal. We'll get it there. We'll find a way. So that's when someone else from the team steps in. But for the most part, it would pretty much be directly, like if you were to buy greenhouse today, it would mostly be just talking to me or, you know, a couple of members of the team. If it was more of a specialized project that you had questions about engineering, all that stuff. The simplest way to do things is just through one person and then let me do all the work. I'll go find the answers for you. So, yeah, basically it's an open door. Like the conversations are back and forth all the time whenever questions arise. And then once the greenhouse gets there, there's often questions about, you know, I feel like I'm, you know, where is this part? How does this go together? I mean, there's a construction manual, but sometimes people just want to have a conversation about things. And so
just out of curiosity, like with dealing, or with working with this community, what kind of support do you provide with like helping them, you know, run the greenhouse or helping them with like growing their crops? Because I know that can be a challenge with working with remote communities is that knowledge on working in a greenhouse, you know, year round or like growing crops year round, like there might not be that expertise in the community. So was that a challenge in this instance, or, you know, have you had those challenges before? And, you know, how does Harnois support those kinds of customers?
Yeah. I mean, for the most part, I would say like that greenhouse isn't built yet. So they haven't reached out for growing needs to date yet. I would say the majority, we do have an agronomist on our team. So that's a big help, right? Like if people have questions, especially specific crops that we kind of aren't used to seeing, that's when he'll step in and he'll sort of have a conversation with the grower. He's also like our sales manager, but he has a degree, he has an agronomy degree and he's like certified, all that stuff. So he steps in and helps. As far as the actual operations of the greenhouse, Harma doesn't take any sort of action in that regard, but we are hashing some of the details out in the earlier conversations, right? For example, I had a project in Edmonton going on right now, Edmonton area, and he's talking about in the early stages, he wanted to grow potatoes, like yam potatoes in the greenhouse and try some other things out. And then, so we worked with another company, they do consulting, but from a hard rock perspective, we can just tell you straight away that like, these are typically lower ROI crops from investments. So you want to have like high yield, high turnover, high value crops in those greenhouses that you can grow year round that have demand. And so that way you're exerting energy and your crop turnover is quicker and it's going into a more profitable, you know, revenue stream. Now we're talking with food sovereignty and nonprofits. That's not their focus, but it does need to be a focus still, is the production of the food. And so it sort of follows the same trend that like we need to have food that's like lettuce can be less than a month, right? So we want to have lettuce crops in there, those sorts of things, versus a crop that takes a full year is going to, you know, just for the space it's taking up in the crop needs to be worth investing in, right? So those conversations do happen. We do have some knowledge on like the business side of things, but we're not consultants per se. We're greenhouse manufacturers and our specialty is greenhouses. So we have the tools, we know kind of what it takes. We know the trends, we know what everyone else is doing, right? Like we get a lot of orders in a year. So we know what kind of is everyone else is doing. And so there's a very big copycat system in place. So we kind of just piggyback off the growth we know and their experiences. Post greenhouse being up and production going in there, we rarely get calls about that. I've never had a call about that personally being like, hey, this isn't working. I've never had one of those calls, and I don't know anyone in the company that's had one of those calls. Maybe that's a good sign that we're doing something right and it's just working on its own. I would doubt that. I feel like growers have a pretty good idea by the time they're investing in greenhouses what they're doing and how their crops work. So for them, it's less of a hiccup. oftentimes though, like if we do know of someone growing, let's say tomatoes, and they go, well, I'm growing tomatoes in high tunnels, for whatever reason, if this was the conversation that would happen, it's not working the way I wanted to. I would go, okay, I have XYZ grower doing the same thing in a similar climate, growing the same crop. I'll put you in touch.
Yeah.
And okay. That's kind of the way that I would do. Like, I'm not an expert grower. I'm not. But I know people who are expert growers. So why not just lean on them? They're doing it day in, day out, year in, year out. I'm not. So don't take my advice for that intense necessarily. Hear it from, is it the horse's mouth? Is that the saying? Just get it directly from someone who's doing it every day. And they have the years of experience to do it and tackle on that sort of challenge.
Yeah, I think that's... I think that's probably like the best approach of getting people help is making those connections. So, okay. So you mentioned that, you know, in your internship, part of your responsibility was to come up with a plan to help the company grow or, you know, look at the building of the market for the West. So this next question that I have for you is, what is your vision for future growth of Harnois? And don't feel like you need to give anything proprietary or, you know, share any trade secrets or anything like that. You can speak, you know, high level on this, but what do you think is the vision? Where's the company headed?
Yeah, you know, I was actually trying to get a meeting organized this winter when I go back about that. But I think, so during my internship, long story short, Harnois used to have a glass division back in the day. And then the glass division, for whatever reason, I actually don't know why, sort of dissipated, and we focused on the poly structures and the polycarbonate structures, those sort of things. Part of my industry analysis, they were talking about expanding into the glass industry. And so now Harnois has a glass division. It's called Veramax. And so following my analysis, I guess you could say, they've decided to take on that glass greenhouse aspect of the industry. They've done a large project in Quebec doing that. I think it was about 8 acres in total. The glass greenhouse is like completely separate to the poly greenhouse structures that we do. There's a different division, like it's a separate part of our company, just because they're so unique and they're so high tech. Now, as far as the rest of the growth goes, I do know we're working with, you know, expanding as much as we can and being more boots on ground, being active at trade shows, having our face in the community, sharing educational things such as like this podcast or it's YouTube videos or it's things with the youth about, you know, what it's like growing in greenhouse. And so these sort of tools for growers is kind of a direction we're taking. I personally have taken on the role of sales rep in like Western US. So we're trying to expand in the West of the US as well.
Why do you think people should work with Harnois as their equipment provider?
Sure. Just like only equipment, not structurally, you mean?
Structure, sure. Why do you think people should work with Harnois for their structure and for their equipment?
Sure. I mean, Harnois's focus always has been and always will be on high quality. So whether that's steel, if we get our steel Canadian, we get Canadian steel, high quality. We're not taking stuff from Asia and these other markets where, you know, there's known to be discrepancies in quality. We our focus has always been quality. And so many projects will reference other projects. So let's say you come to me, you go, I'm in Vancouver, I'm looking to build a greenhouse, tell me about Harnois. I go, what better person to tell you about it than one of our clients? Like, why don't you go visit John down the road? John's got a greenhouse. He's kind of got what you got going on. Why don't you go with him and see what he's into? And so oftentimes it's just connections like that. So people can physically meet growers and hear like a third party's perspective on us. Cause it's easy for me to sit here and sell you on, you know, we're high quality, we're all about service and people oriented and we're family business, this and that. But hear from someone who got to experience the same thing they're about to experience is a great opportunity for them. So I like to personally do that. Whenever I can connect people with people that I've already bought from us and let the product speak for itself.
What about your poly and your polycarbonate? Where do you guys source all that material?
Yeah. So the only time we outsource anything is equipment or non-steel things. So steel is all Canadian. Equipment will be like, we have like some US distributors. It just depends where the company's based out of, right? Like, so right now I'm doing a project for strawberry growing gutters. Those growing gutters are coming out of Ontario. A lot of our heaters come from the US. I want to say Oklahoma or Kansas, maybe. Might be Kansas. So for those sorts of things, we do rely on the company's location. Pauly, if I am correct on this, I want to say Portuguese. But they have a plant in Quebec. It's right by our office. So we just lean, like, that company is so close to us, we just use their products that are already in Canada for us. It makes way more sense. Mm-hmm. I don't know the source of every little, you know, like the fans, for example. I can find out.
Get me that 300-page catalog and tell me where everything's from. Yeah, it's okay. I was just curious. I was honestly mostly curious about the poly and the polycarbonate. I'm working with a few clients and I'm trying to get Harnois structures with them.
Yeah, we had our own poly. I think it was like Harnois branded poly. Greek is what it was. It's Greek. Yeah, again, there's a warehouse right next to like the office. So they keep stuff locally North American.
Okay, so to summarize, you know, kind of your points, people should really consider, you know, working with Harnois for their structure and their equipment and all like the
turnkey solutions. Yeah.
Yeah, that you guys can provide because you guys focus on high quality of supplies and high service as well. Like if people have a problem, you'll connect people with others in your network to help them solve it.
Yeah, sure. And that goes, you know, from day one when you inquire, send us an email or whatever, to long after, right? We have projects that are 40 years old and they come to us and they go, hey, I still have a Harnois house from 40 years ago. I need a replacement for this. You guys still have that? Well, no, we don't still manufacture that same house from 40 years ago, but we do have parts and we do have steel so we can make it. So we'll make those parts for those clients. So the service aspect carries on long after the greenhouse is already up too.
Yeah, that's excellent. What would you say is your proudest moment of being involved with this industry and working for Harnois?
I would say proudest moment of being in this industry. Like I've been told this once by a client was, you know, this is my dream. Like I want a greenhouse and this is my dream. And so to be helping people in that sort of sense is just very rewarding. Mm-hmm. You're providing something that is, you know, bettering the world. You're not, and you're helping people at the end of the day. It still provides jobs, it provides work, provides food sovereignty, or, you know, in other cases, let's say it's tree seedlings in the greenhouse you're still bettering the world in a way. So for me, I think I'm very fulfilled personally in that sense, because I do get that reward of, you know, I get to help people and I get to help people help other people. And so it's like a helping help. It's a big thing like that. I would say I'm one of the younger people in the industry. For those listening that can't see me, I'm 24, so I'm a bit of a youngin'.
I was going to say this answer is the most Gen Z answer, but I love it. Yeah.
It's true though.
All the Gen Zs, they want to make the world a better place. It's great. I love it.
It's true. It's true. I mean, you could be selling tobacco products or other things that are harmful in some senses, right? But the idea is I'm doing something that helps people. So that's really rewarding. Being a younger person in the industry, I feel like everyone's a good resource. No one's afraid to help. I've noticed that when I call clients, say, hey, I got a guy up the road. He's just wondering if he can check out your things. Absolutely, bring him on down. I'd love to show around or whatever it is. And so people are very willing to help. Even if they're competition, I would say there's still people helping people. COVID is a big example of that. There was lots of people struggling with supply chain issues and whatnot. And everyone is kind of bonding together to help each other out. And that's a big part of the ag world, I noticed, is, mm-hmm. you know, we're businesses and we're competing in some sense. But at the end of the day, it's about helping people. So everyone helps each other out. Knowing one day it could be them that needs help, right?
Yeah, I've noticed that too in my experience. Even with like growing crops, and maintaining like a greenhouse or maintaining, you know, some indoor growing setups, there's so many different small changes that could impact your environment that could completely alter how your plant grows. It's like nobody is going, I mean, there are people who are really well experienced who are able to like problem solve, you know, all like these little details of, you know, how to help your plant grow. But to get to that point, like, you need so many years of experience. And so to have like a network of people where it's like, oh, maybe this one person had this one instance happen to them and they know that the solution is X, and somebody else had, you know, this other solution happened to them and they have the answer to why. It's really good to be in an industry that is so well networked that you can feel comfortable relying on one another, because collectively you might all have the answers, but individually people might have like 50% of them and whatnot. So I think that's a really good point. Do you have any advice to new growers or people, you know, looking to start up a greenhouse? Why should they come to Harnois? You know, how do they reach out to you guys?
Sure. I'll give you a little example. I have a young lady, she's 20 years old, and she wants to buy like a 3-bay gutter connect greenhouse and do like a storefront in there and have like weddings in there, and grow some produce as well. And so the conversations start, you know, now, before she's just thinking about it, right? So she sends an email or whatever inquiring. And since then we've been talking back and forth lots. I saw her, actually, the first time I met her was at a bus tour of a bunch of different greenhouses in the Calgary area. And she was like, oh, you do greenhouses? I'd love to learn more. So we got talking. She's just new. Like, she grew up working in greenhouses a bit, so she has some experience. But through her, we've connected her with multiple different people, growers, builders, other shows to attend to get more information or learn more about. And so the network goes beyond just, hey, we sell a structure. It's, hey, we have this network of people. It's, hey, we have these resources. It's really just a big, reaching out with one arm gets you access to, like you said, a bunch of different people and ideas, and their experiences help a lot, right? The head of the AGGA, for example, Alberta Greenhouse Growers Association, is like this with that 20-year-old, and she's just giving her ideas all the time. And she's always saying, hey, if you need a bowl, send it my way. She's great. She has a list of greenhouses in like every city. So if you ever are touring in Alberta and you want to stop by a greenhouse, she's got a map and you can just go check them out. So everyone's kind of got something that they can help, and we want to provide that help as well. So I think that's sorry, I'm a little long-winded here, but like, if you're new, we have resources, we have agronomists, we have growers. What you're doing isn't the first time it's ever been done, likely, right? We can help in those situations. Even if it is the first time being done, we have custom solutions for everything, or we can piggyback off ideas we've used in other greenhouses. So the experience of having a company that's, you know, 60 years old doing greenhouses, it helps to have that network of 60 years of ideas working its way through the chain. And so we feel pretty confident and comfortable in almost every case.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Chris, for your time on this show. I think you've represented Harnois, you know, very well.
Yeah.
And I think that these are all excellent reasons to be working with Harnois. So yeah, thank you for your time. And I guess you are the poster child for Harnois Industries.
Sure, we'll call it that. Thank you so much, Rena. I appreciate you inviting me on here.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Greenhouse Success Stories hosted by Trina Semenchek. Thanks to our guests who make this all possible. Special thanks to our title sponsor, Harnois Greenhouse. To read the full show notes for each episode, which includes an episode summary, key takeaways, and guest resources mentioned, please visit greenhousesuccess.com. $680 million poured into precision ag last year. Autonomous weeding robots dominated, and John Deere made 2 acquisitions in 3 months. A food company, not an equipment maker, bought a robotics startup to protect its own supply chain. The deals are accelerating, the money is moving, and the winners are already separating from the pack. If you're investing, building, or buying in this space, you need the full picture before your competitors get it. The 2025 Precision Agriculture Intelligence Report from iGrowNews is now available. Get your copy today at igrownews.com/precision. Special thanks to our title sponsor, Harnois Greenhouses. Are you a commercial grower striving for consistency, higher yields, and year-round profitability? For over 60 years, Harnois Greenhouses has been designing, building, and installing advanced greenhouse and high tunnel systems across North America. Their commercial structures are engineered to maximize light with minimal steel, using their exclusive oval tube design, improve climate control, and reduce disease risks, helping growers achieve healthier crops, better yields, and consistent performance season after season. What sets them apart? Arnois combines deep engineering expertise with a personalized grower-first approach. With tens of thousands of installations worldwide, patented technologies, and a legacy of innovation, they're not just building greenhouses, they're building the future of agriculture. If you want a greenhouse manufacturer that can truly be there, from your first high tunnel to a fully automated turnkey solution tailored to your climate, crops, and business goals, whether you grow vegetables, ornamentals, berries, or nursery plants, visit arnoisgreenhouse.com. Let them help you bring predictability, efficiency, and scalability to your growing operation. Thanks to Arnois Greenhouses for supporting this show. Now let's get into today's episode.